for three of the biggest games of my entire career for the next 3 weeks here at Pioneer. So to say I'm excited would be an understatement. Well, I got to tell you a little bit about my life, though. I thought I'd show you instead of just telling you. That's disgusting! How could you show that in church? Don't worry, you're going to send me back to the minor leagues. I got 3 weeks here before I can be fired. Well, I was pursuing the American dream, and I was like drinking Red Bull out of a fire hose. I mean, with both hands, I was charging. Anytime I could get a credit card in the mail, I would do it, and I would fill it out. As a matter of fact, even when I was in college, before doing my homework, I would fill out credit card applications. And here's an interesting statistic. They didn't have this back when I was in school. But do you know the first week that a student goes to college, they get 8 credit card applications the first week? Now, I think that's more than their assignments the first week. And now if I was a student now, I'd say, what am I going to do, my homework or the 8 credit card applications? I could get free money here. So let's do the credit card applications. And I fell into that so hard. Let me fast forward a little. Not only did I jump into pursuing money as a way of life, but I couldn't wait to get out of college, because what I knew was that the more education I got, the more money I'd make. I mean, that was the kind of the more education, more money. So I thought, okay, I'll go to school long term. I'll go as long as I possibly can, but I wanted to do it as fast as possible. How do you do that? It wasn't easy. So I ended up going to school in the summer and finally graduating and getting a scholarship to law school, because I thought lawyers, they make the dough. Might as well become a lawyer. I didn't like law, but I liked money. So what happened is I started working my night, going to school by day, and I worked at night at the sheriff's office of Broward County, Sheriff Nick Navarro. Some of you might have heard of him. That was one of my first cool jobs, because I was like an accountant for him. As an undergraduate, I took accounting classes, you know, the language of business, you know, closest to the money. You know, I was aiming for it. But you see, I didn't think he treated me as well as he could have. I thought he should have given me a promotion the second day. He's like, yeah, hey, I was fast tracking, you know, and he didn't, so I kind of lost interest in the job a little bit. So he had an account that really wasn't making any money for him, so I decided to invest it for him. I forgot to tell him. That was an error, yeah. So I started taking his money, investing it, and I started making money with it. And then I decided he didn't deserve any. Isn't it amazing how we can kind of rationalize these things in our minds? And so then, fast forward a few months, I left that job and pursued my education. You know, I couldn't work full time and go to school, so I would just try to make money going to school. So I would do homework for kids. that you can't do that in law school. You're not allowed to do homework for other students in law school. But I didn't care because I had an insatiable appetite for more money. Until one day, the sheriff of Broward County's deputies and the FBI knocked at the door. And they told me they wanted all the money back. But the problem is, ill-gotten gains do not profit. I didn't know what that verse meant in Proverbs. Now I do. I spent it all. I spent all that money and then some, and I had $100,000 in debt. And you see, most think that if I could just get my hands on a large sum of money, I would be all set. I would save it. I would invest it wisely. I wouldn't spend it. But the truth of the matter is, unless we know whose money it is, not ours, we're just going to spend it however way we want to. And that's what I did. So I found myself on the other side of the law, no longer working for the law, but in jail. And finally, I gave my heart to the Lord. And when I got out, I needed to get a day job to make minimum payments on my credit cards and the debt to society. It was about $2,000 a month. That's all I could earn that month. Because who wants to, you know, hire somebody who's just been arrested for stealing money? It wasn't a good thing to put on your resume at the top. I put it towards the bottom. You know what I mean? And by night, I needed a job to, food. I mean, it doesn't look like I eat much. But it's one of those things you just got to do. So I thought, what does a guy want to do, you know, really, at night? I mean, he doesn't want to work, but if he had to, delivering pizzas. Why? Free pizza and tips. There's nothing better in life for a guy, am I right? Well, they denied me admission at Pizza Hut. Yeah, I went to therapy for this for a while, so I haven't been able to tell a lot of people. Finally, I can feel comfortable with this group because you guys are very, you know, receptive. So, but there was a permanent help wanted sign at the Hyatt Regency, downtown Miami. You know the James L. Knight Center down there? A beautiful hotel at the Hyatt Regency. Well, they had a permanent help wanted sign. Now, how come people have permanent help wanted signs? Do you know what that means? That means people must quit every day. I mean, you don't usually put a help wanted sign once, twice a year. They had a permanent one there, a gold placard that said, "Help wanted. All applicants accepted." Now I know why. Where you picked up the car to where you drove the car to was exactly 1 mile. And then, it's not hard driving there with somebody's car, but running back, now that's a challenge. You can do one car, easy. But after that, you don't want to pick up anybody's car. You go, "Hey, look, you sure you want to Valley Park? Look, go park down the street, buddy. Don't worry, I just saved you a couple dollars." And so, of course, people would quit. I needed the job. And so, the problem was, you had to wear the uniform. And you know the Valley Park, because they get the bow tie, white shirt, black pants, and you had to wear black sneakers. The problem is, this is back in the 80s. Do you know the only black sneakers back in the 80s? Reeboks, you've been there. They were $50. They were $50. $50 to a kid who doesn't have a credit card is a lot of money. Okay, I'm just going to lay it out there. But God gave me like an epiphany. McCrory's Drugstore. Now, McCrory's Drugstore, Walmart put them out of business. Okay, I'm just going to let you guys know that. Downtown Miami, there used to be something called a five and dime. I don't understand five and dimes. There's nothing for five or dime there, okay? But McCrory's Drugstore had ladies' garden shoes. Now, men, have any of you ever worn ladies' garden shoes? Raise your hand. You guys are looking at me strange now. No, and we're not about to. And if we had known this, we wouldn't have invited you this Sunday. Well, you see, these were only $5.99. Right? $50, $5.99, I could afford to pay cash for these. Layaway, you know what I mean? Dollar a week. I needed the job so desperately. But the problem is, now this is what they didn't teach us men. Do you know these sizes run differently than men's? Well, they don't teach this to us in first grade. You know, teaching us math and phonics and stuff, not the important stuff in life. I bought size 10. I'm a size 10 in men's, it's size 10 in ladies. They're shaking their head. The men's going, "Why? Yeah, that sounds cool. What's wrong with that?" My toes were like this. No return policy. See, that's why Walmart put them out of business. Well, here's the big problem. They have this white band around them. They think that's cool. these shoes aren't cool. It doesn't matter what you do to them, they're not cool. They have a white band around them. Well, this is before God invented Sharpies, okay? This was in the magic marker days. Remember magic markers? They were great. People don't use them any longer because they're not permanent. But I had a magic marker in my pocket, and I would color them. Now, men, you imagine me near South Beach in ladies' garden shoes, coloring my shoes. It wasn't not, I didn't look manly. Okay, I'm just going to lay it out there. I didn't look manly, but I needed the job. What would you do for food? Well, I showed you. Somebody bought these for me recently. These are only $3.99 now. The only thing that has gone down in 20 years. And they're still not accurately priced. They're not worth that. Because by the end of the first night, I had holes right in the bottom. I felt like, you know, you hear the stories about your parents, your grandparents in the Great Depression. They had holes in the shoes and they would stick the cardboard in. You ever heard they uphill both ways in the snow in Florida? I mean, what's up with that? Anyway, so anyway, but I was hurting. But you see, my luck started to change, I thought, because at that point I thought, you know, if I could just make money the old-fashioned way, not cheating, not stealing, but, you know, working hard, I would do it because I still had this insatiable appetite. And none other than Dwight Lauderdale, the anchorman from Channel 10 News, drove his Jaguar up the ramp. I didn't know how to say Jaguar. I said Jaguar. I know now. And so, and this was the first Jaguar I had ever ridden in. And so he got out of the car, kind of looked at me. You know, you look strange at a guy wearing ladies' shoes. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how honest you look. You've got ladies' shoes on? You're not going to let him in your car. He was very kind, though. He walked by with his wife. I think if he wasn't with his wife, he might have said something. And he's watching me out of the corner of his eye. I jump in the car, and of course, I want to look cool. So I'm looking for the key, you know. And what is it with these exotic cars? The key is not like where the old Ford is. No, it's not there. It's like under the seat or a retinal scan or you know, you put the key in your pocket, it just starts. So I'm looking for the key. Finally, I found it. I think it was in the back seat. And I turned that little kitty cat on. The problem is it was already on. Dude, let's do it together. Oh, that kitty cat moaned. That kitty cat... I mean, if you were a cat lover, I would have been arrested because there was pain and suffering coming out from that hood. Well, I felt like I had better chance with the police than Dwight Lauderdale, so I put it in the drive and sped away off the ramp. If looks could kill, I wouldn't be here. Honestly, can you imagine Dwight Lauderdale? Where's it going? I drove it to the ramp, and I was hurting. I was at such a low point in my life. And like a lot of people today, yeah, we might not be in recession or depression, but there are people right now today in your companies, in your neighborhoods, maybe even in your families, maybe even in this room that are feeling the pains of this financial collapse. The whole housing market has caused a ripple effect. This domino effect. And many people are feeling so wounded, so much pain. And I felt that pain. $100,000 in debt, now I can't even drive a car. Well, I turned on the radio like any other good Valley Parker would do and changed the channel. Now, have you ever had your car Valley parked? Have you noticed that it's always on a different channel? You go, and your girl says, wait, what? Have you been, I wasn't listening to this. Honest. I was listening to the Christian radio before. Not really. So the Valley Park, they teach us this. They teach us how to, yeah. It's the first, yeah, it's in college. It's a 101. So anyway, I changed the radio because I needed to hear God's voice. I needed to hear God's voice. And you know, I was desperate. I was willing to look anywhere, including a radio channel. And at this point, there was still the Christian radio in Miami. And I heard Larry Burkett. Larry Burkett, a man, he didn't have any humor. But he spoke the word of God in a very calm way. And at that point, I needed to hear God's word. And he said that many of us are living hopeless lives. We have no hope because we're not doing it God's way. I said, well, tell me God's way. He said, God owns it all. It's not yours. Most of us have been bad managers, bad custodians, bad stewards of what he's given to us. We've squandered it. And then I thought Skycam was in the car. That's me, God. How'd you know? Dwight Lauderdale, Skycam, they're watching me. Yes, I've squandered everything you've given to me, God. the ability to go to college, getting kicked out of college, getting kicked out of law school, getting kicked out of my job. I mean, it sounded like a country western song, except I didn't have a dog in a pickup truck. You know what I mean? It was bad. And I said, God, I give my heart to you. And Larry said, there is great hope for the hopeless people out there. And I said, God, I am hopeless. Will you change my desires? And then he said this. Larry Burkett says, you see, most of us have pain in our financial lives because of the words of God in Proverbs 10:22. It's the blessing of the Lord that brings wealth. Whatever that wealth is, $100 a week, $100 a month. And he adds no sorrow to it. He said, do you have sorrow in the area of finances? Do you have sorrow in the money category right now? I said, yeah, I got a lot of sorrow. You're not doing it God's way. And then I gave my heart to the Lord. He said, the first step is surrendering your heart to the Lord. And then I had this insatiable appetite to find out what God's word said about money. I thought I could kind of, you know, digest them all overnight. I found out there's 2,350 verses in God's word that talk about money. We're going to read them now, okay? No, we're not. There's so many. As a matter of fact, if you have a red letter edition Bible, one third of Jesus' words would have to be ripped out of your Bible if you didn't want to hear about money. Because he spoke more about money than any other subject except the kingdom of God. One third of his words speak about money. And most of those verses, most of his words are warnings. Don't do it. Don't do it like Kevin did it. That's like the New Living Translation, okay? Don't do it because you're going to get pain. There are some things that we can change in this world. There are some things that God says, I want you to change. But there are some that we cannot. And the things that we cannot change are the things we must accept today. And that's what today's all about. The first in a three-part series on money. Kind of a boring subject, it sounds like. Sounds like it's a seminar. It's like, oh, we can check out for the next 3 weeks, but I can assure you this. This can be the most important series of your entire life. Because not only can God change your lives, but there'll be an incredible ripple effect around you because of a verse that we're going to unpack today in Romans. That he wants to do something crazy great in your finances so that you ooze that hope out into other people's lives. So when people see you, they go, yeah, I'm a Christian too, but you got something I don't got. Come to PCC next week, tell them. We all have got it there. Because this is my dream. It's not just to give you a good teaching series. Oh, that's nice. And I hope you expect that. But I don't want to give you something that's irrelevant to PCC. What do you mean? Well, PCC is on this mountain, and they could go either way. God could just unleash his incredible power in this area and bring people in so that they can have incredible, genuine life change or not. And I believe that he wants to. I know he does. And I believe that he wants to use each one of us, each one of you, to touch somebody's life, to show them that this is not just church doing business as usual. No, this is so much greater. You come here to PCC and you experience a faith that is greater than you've ever experienced before. That's what I want to see here, and that's what I know you want to see. So I want to make this series so relevant for you that you're compelled. Like, let me tell you, everybody's got a mission statement nowadays, don't they? How about this one? Our mission is to wow you and every member in such a way that you're compelled to tell the world. Isn't that a great mission statement? You know, don't we? Well, all the churches have mission statements, you know, to be devoted followers of Christ, to join in the adventure. Even PCC has one. You know what mission statement this is from? It's from the credit union. The credit union! I mean, we're talking about changing the world one account at a time. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. No, what we've got here is so much greater than the credit union. And that's what this series is all about. The first step, we got to understand what's going on out there. You know, the truth of the dark trail. can't see that very well, but we spend about $1.23 for every dollar we earn. Now that's there's a fatal flaw there. Because if we continue to spend more than what we're earning, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be like me, where I'm cutting up the credit cards, making a little smoothie. We dim the lights just in case somebody wants to sleep, okay? So be courteous to the person next to you if they do. Money is the number one conflict in marriage. Well, 80% of marriages that end in divorce are caused by money problems. 80%. It might have even affected somebody in this room. It certainly, listen to this, it certainly will affect people this year that you know. Why? Pastor Trevor said, we are in this tough time. Call it whatever. Even if you call it good times, they're not good. And people are going to bail out. And people are going to be pointing the fingers at each other. There is $943 billion now owed on credit cards. 2 years ago, it was $700. We have just increased incredibly, haven't we? Now, let me put it in perspective. That's $123 billion paid in interest per year. How many of those people do you think are Christians? Well, the divorce rate among Christians is the same as non-Christians. The debt rate among Christians, guess what? Is the same among non-Christians. Why? Because we blend in. We're not set apart any longer. We're set apart maybe on Sundays, and maybe we're set apart in our speech, and we're set apart in having several Bibles, but we're not set apart here in the money area. And something's got to change. But God's word doesn't. God has a solution. And here's an awful statistic. Financial problems are the leading cause of suicide. As a matter of fact, you'll see a little footnote down there. You might not be able to see it. But two out of the top nine factors for teenagers is money. Teenagers, they don't even have to think about getting a job. And two out of nine, more than 20% of the teen suicides, the notes say it's over finances. Either their family's been arguing over finances or they don't have enough money. Well, we need some serious solutions. And this could be it.
Like, we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help.
We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Oh, let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in Chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, If You Don't Have the Money, Don't Buy It, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
All right, that was fun. That was fun. You heard my story. Well, after God got a hold of my heart, I had this insatiable appetite to find out what God's word had to say about money. So There was one organization who had compiled all this stuff. It was called Christian Financial Concepts at the time. Larry Burkett, the same guy I heard on the radio. So I would call from a payphone because they had a 1-800 number. And they didn't have caller ID back then. They couldn't like block my call. Every day I call for free stuff. I thought maybe I'd get some free books. Now they just sent me pamphlets. You know how that is, unless you make a donation. No, but they were very generous. And I combed over everything. And I thought, wow, God, your word says so much about money. I need to change not your word, but me. And that's where a lot of us are in this room. We want to change the world. And God wants to use us to change the world. But there's some things that we don't need to change. We don't want to change. It's God's message. Well, let's take a look at that. Things that can't change on the trail. Now first, God owns it all. And you might say, well, Kevin, come on, that's an easy one. That's a no-brainer. Well, let me see a checkbook. Let me see a bank statement. And I can tell who owns what you got. What do you mean? You see, an indication of how we're spending God's money will tell us who owns it. Okay, maybe God owns the world, this whole Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who dwell in it. Okay, God owns that. But what about the wealth? You see, God has given me this incredible ability to make wealth. Oh, you remember your grandmother saying in Psalm 50, I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. You just thought your grandmas were saying that, didn't you? That was right here. God even owns that. Now, how about our ability? Have you ever felt like God has given you the ability? I want to be able to talk to dolphins or marlin players, you know, especially when they're first starting out. Because you know how they feel? They feel like, man, I'm so blessed to have this talent. But it's my talent. And I said, wait. You know what Deuteronomy 6 says? It's amazing. Deuteronomy 8. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You see, even our abilities he's given to us. Okay, now what's left for us to own? How about ourselves? How about our bodies? We own our bodies, right? Well, God says, well, guess what? I created you. Yeah, but what about, No, I also, oh, those of you in the back have to wake up now, sorry. I also have given my life to you, and I own you. You've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, you've been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. How do we glorify God in our body? The way we spend his money. We're doubly his. Okay, so God, you own us. You own everything. What's our deal? What's up to us now? We'll accept that, but I mean, that really doesn't leave anything for us to own. No, I got an incredible deal for you. Here's my deal. We don't own the stuff. He owns it, but I want to make you my managers. I want to make you my GMs, my general managers. We're all in management here in this room. Whether we're managing schoolwork, whether we're managing children, whether we're in the hospital managing patients, whether we're managing sales, business, you name it, we're managing. And what happens when we're a bad manager? Well, we get fired. Or if you're a homemaker, you're taking care of kids, there'll be a coup, and the kids will overthrow you, which is worse than being fired. And so you got to do a good job. But you see, we got to disconnect, don't we? In this area, if we're not good managers for God's stuff, well, he doesn't zap us. So we think, maybe it's okay. Or maybe he's just looking the other way. Or maybe we're doing fine. God is patient and God is long-suffering. Today is the day for us to say, God, no longer will I treat your stuff as if it's mine. I will treat it as if it's yours. I will be a good and faithful manager. And that's at 1 Corinthians 4, 2. It is required of managers. It is required of stewards. It is required of us custodians that have been entrusted something so valuable to be found faithful. We must be found faithful because there are lives depending upon it. There are lives depending upon it. What do you mean? There are people's lives that are depending upon the way we handle God's money. Well, some of us say, well, that's compelling, but I need to hear something more compelling. What about peace? financial peace. God wants to give you financial peace. And this is what your friends, your neighbors, your people, your colleagues need so desperately to see through you, that you have a peace through the storm. We are entering into stormy waters. There's no question about it. The real estate market has tanked. Most people are going to be losing their houses, that you know. I mean, it's crazy. Now they're holding on, like holding on to an ice cube, but it's going to slip through their hands. Now, what if you could be this incredible force that says, let me show you my source of peace? God wants us to have financial peace, but we've got to do it His way. If we don't do it His way, it's not going to happen. It's not the peace of the world. The peace of the world is this. I'll go to Marshall's and buy something. Ladies, a $20 blouse that's worth $200 at Macy's, right? That feels good, but then we have to keep anesthetizing our heart. The peace that God's talking about is so much greater. The peace that can only come from Him. And we have that in John 14:27 and 16:33. But what about if He doesn't stop there? Some of us just want this financial peace in our lives, and I have you at hello. You say, okay, that's all I want. I don't want the pain any longer. But what if God says, it's not just the avoidance of pain that I want you to have, which is good enough for some of us, because once we felt the pains of financial heartache, we never want to go back there. But God says, I don't want to just give you margin in your lives. I don't want to just give you more money at the end of the month. I don't want to stop there. I want to go beyond that. I want to give you something crazy called joy. But, you see, we still have this beep in our heads. Maybe it's in our hearts. Is it a cell phone? No. I think it's going on in all of our minds, because we have a peace gauge that's running on fumes right now. Looks a lot like my gas tank, because I hate to go to the gas station. You know how what I mean. But you see, deep down in our hearts, we are feeling this pain, this anguish, this I'm not satisfied with where I'm at financially right now. I need something supernatural to bring me from where I'm at to where I could be. And that's where God comes in. And that's a surrendered heart. God wants to give you this incredible peace. And here's the beauty. This is so cool. If God does it in our lives, guess what He will then do? If you have your Bibles in front of you, turn to Romans 15:13. It's the coolest. I love to quote this verse all wherever I go, because it pretty much encapsulates the entire counsel of God in one verse. May the God of peace, may the God of hope, may this God who gives joy, may the God of hope fill you with what? With gasoline, with food? No. He's not in the gas business. He's not in the food business. He's in the heart-changing business. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now, sum up your life for me. What would you like to see happen with the rest of your days? Would peace and joy be kind of at the top? I mean, think about it. When we get ultra-successful, whatever that connotation is in our mind, what do we think that will achieve in our lives? Peace and joy. What if I told you, you could get peace and joy today without winning the lottery, without getting that big promotion, without being able to hit 400 in the major leagues? What if I told you God wants all of us to have that peace and joy? So when people see you, they go, what's up with you? Did you get a new boyfriend? No, just the same guy. He's great. It's beyond my boyfriend. It's God. He is lighting me up. I'm loving it. You see, He gave me peace and joy no matter where I'm at. And I'll tell you why this is so critically important, because people need this. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. It's conditional. It's not going to be for everybody. I'm just going to tell you right now, not everybody's going to get peace and joy out there. It's not like just get it in the mail. It's conditional. As you trust in Him. You see, we trust everything else. We trust in money. We trust in the economy. We trust in our jobs. We trust in our partner even. We trust in our abilities. But God says, He said it through the smartest and the wealthiest man of all time. I'm not talking about Bill Gates. I'm talking about Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, And here's the whole ending of my whole message, he says. He says, fear God and obey him. Fear God and obey him. You imagine the smartest and wealthiest man coming to your house and saying, I got a message for you. Oh, here, let me make you a cup of coffee. What is it? Oh, just fear God and obey him. No, no, no. Give me some good stuff. I mean, tell me like some of the prizes of life. I mean, you know, no, that's it. I've traveled throughout this land, and this is what's the most important. Fear God. Don't fear man. I love that song we sang. I will not be afraid. I will trust in you. What if that was true? What if the praise and worship songs we sang were true? Oh, well, I never said they weren't true. What if we live our lives as if they are? What if we said, just like Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him through this difficult time right now. You see, when God changes your heart, then you can overflow it. Because the last half of that verse, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow that hope by the power of you? No, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to accomplish in our lives, and that's what I want to see by Easter Sunday. I won't be here on Easter Sunday. For the first time, I'm not preaching the holiday. I feel like I got demoted, but that's okay. I usually am here during the holidays. But 3 weeks from now, there's Easter Sunday, and of course, that's the biggest day of people coming out to church. I mean, you know, you guys like me going, all right, I'll go one day a year if I have to. And it's a great opportunity for you to show people the peace and the joy in your life and say, hey, look, why don't you come out on Sunday? So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to showcase how great it is to have that incredibly changed life, to come together and say, this is what we want to do at Pioneer. We want to bring people here so they can hear a message of hope, of peace, of joy, and they can see it through our lives, and we can touch their lives with it. So we got some radical stuff planned these next 3 weeks. Now, this is the way we got to live, though. We got to live lives that'll make the pagan world envious, your neighbors humbled, and your family admire you. Now, how does that look? Well, that looks a lot different than the rest of the world. That looks a lot different because that means we're not going to have the same pains when the economy collapses, because we're not going to make the same decisions they make. We're going to make decisions based on God's word. We're not going to try to change it because we have to accept something today. God has placed those 2,350 verses in God's word, in his word, not to hurt us, not to take our joy away, not to take our fun away, but to give us more fun. I didn't believe that. I thought it was like one of those praise and worship songs. I knew the words, but I went and did my thing. But now I believe it. And he was right. Imagine God being right. Pfft, unbelievable. Yeah! And that's the cool thing. So what's the next step here? We need to accept it. This way we can avoid the trouble. You see, many lives, even some here, are just like, you see the video, the broken glasses, the broken dreams, the broken lives. God says, I don't want you to experience this. This is not like traffic where you just have to cope with it. This can be avoided. Avoid the trouble. Do it my way. The verse I quoted in Proverbs 10:22, it's a blessing of the Lord that brings wealth and he adds no trouble to it. And we get his peace. And you see, the fear is this. I'm not sure, God, if I completely do it your way, whether I'm going to have that kind of joy. Because I still got to hold on to kind of what I do too. No, no, no. God says, let it go. Let it go. And the blessings will be amazing. And that's where Deuteronomy 15, I love Deuteronomy. This week, this whole month, we've been celebrating kind of the 40 days that Jesus has been in the wilderness, commemorating that, being tempted by Satan. Of course, our Catholic brothers and sisters probably do more of a commemorating than that. But when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Of all the words he could quote, I mean, he could have quoted himself. He quoted Deuteronomy 3 times. There's an incredible verse in Deuteronomy, chapters 15:5-6. They talk about blessings by doing it God's way. You see, there's no pushback. There is absolutely nothing, no side effect in trusting God. Because his love is radical. John 15:13, he says this, no greater love than this, than someone lay down their life for their friends. Friends? Yeah, you know, you and I are considered his friends. That's amazing that he considered us friends even when we didn't like him. Now, people don't like me, I have a hard time calling them friends. You know, people who like me, I love them. You guys like me, I love you guys. But people don't like me, I have a hard time with them. Well, Jesus said, I don't have a hard time with those people. I love them, I call them friends. In the verse afterwards, he says this. John 15:14. You are my friends if you obey me, if you do my commands. Well, here's Judy Kay. Judy Kay decided to do just that. And in the waning moments before I let you go, Judy Kay said, she came in for counsel, and sometimes I, when I'm traveling or when I'm in town, I stay at the church and do a little bit of counseling with the stewardship minister, and this single mom came in. She used to be in the real estate business. Well, we know what happened in the real estate business. Nobody's selling anything. I don't think there's been a house that sold in Broward County in, what, 2 years? Anybody know anybody that sold anything? One house. Okay, just one. Okay. That was on the newspaper. It was on the front page. I couldn't believe it. It was a fluke. Well, she was a realtor, so she decided that she wanted to eat and pay and, you know, take care of her kids. So she got a job that paid, you know, not much. She got a job at a church making $20,000 a year. And she came in and she said, Kevin, I have this Nissan Murano. I'm making a payment, plus the insurance is almost $1,000 a month. She brought in about $1,600. So you know what I told her? Get rid of it. Same thing you tell her. Well, she cried because you know why? She said, how am I going to get to work? And that's the same question all of us need to ask today. If I trust God, how am I going to fill in the blank? How am I going to get to school? How am I going to get a husband? How am I going to win back my wife? How am I going to, you fill in the blanks, because we fear the world. We don't fear God. And it's holding us back from making a decision today. And I said, let it go. How big is your God? And she broke down and cried. First miracle, she took her car over to CarMax, and the Nissan people said they would accept what they would give her, which is about $8,000 less than what she owed. You know, you owe much more than it's worth. That's unfortunate. They accepted that. Now, this is what Satan did in the ninth hour. Satan says, no, now you're not going to have a car. You're not going to get to work. I told you, don't do it God's way. He doesn't know. So she started crying again. She told some of the gals at work to pray for her. You know, when you're just an idol because you can't do anything, sometimes you just pray or worry. If you're part of my family, we just worry. But if some other families, they pray. And I come from a long line of worriers, okay? Just pray for me or worry. No, pray. And so she started praying with some of the ladies, and it got to the boss, and the boss says, you know, we have a car that we're not using here. You can use it for a week or so. And here's what Satan did again. See, Satan is a master of knowing how to debilitate you. Satan says this. After a week, you're not going to have a car, and then you're going to overstep your welcome at work, and then you'll probably lose your job because now they don't want somebody just mooching off them. Oh, you're going to, oh. See, I told you how bad it is, and that's exactly what he's going to tell you today. That's exactly what he's going to tell you today, because there is somebody God wants you to get into their life this week and next week and the following week to invite them on Easter Sunday. And he's going to give you several excuses why you shouldn't do it. We don't have a building yet. It's too far. I would have to pick them up. I mean, the stuff you don't want to hear. I mean, bad stuff. If they want to come, they can come, right, Kevin? No, but God wants you to do something great, and Satan doesn't. She called up Sheridan House, and she said, do you have any cars for single moms? And they said, oh, sometimes we do, but right now we don't. Satan again, I told you, don't do it God's way. You're crazy. Bob Barnes says, hold on, we have somebody on the line. Oh, somebody's donating a car right now. It's this one right here. She's standing next to the car. It's the same make, model, and color of the car she had when she moved to Florida. God rocks. Your God rocks. And that's what it's all about. You see, I'm not here today selling snake oil. You know what I mean? What I'm doing, I'm showing you, I'm showcasing how great our God is. And people don't have this. We get out of these four walls and we go to a restaurant and we go home and our neighbors are like mowing the lawn and they're like grumpy. And some of them are Christians because they don't have the faith now that Judy Kay has and the faith that we have. And so this is what I want to see. I want to see us living lives that we are set apart. We're like that green ball among all those red balls. And it has no significance. I just found that picture. God wants us to live lives that are set apart. Live original. Now, I got something for you today. Everybody gets a little gift before they leave today. You see, we do the Margin of Mean tour, and we try to go all over the United States, and we're going to be in Brazil in May, Lord willing. And we do this cool event called the Margin of Meaning. And we give these little armbands out. It's called, well, on one side it's the red. Getting out of the red into the black. You know, out of the bondage of being in debt, of not having enough money at the end of the month, doing it God's way so we have some left over, but not stopping there. Not just getting out of the red, but investing it in the gold. And on the one side of the band, it says Live Original. So I've got Live Original armbands for everybody today. Those of you who are sleeping, guess what? If this hits you, you signed a little waiver, okay? Now, I only have about 1,000 here, so all of you will only get about 3, okay? Okay, so I mean, that's the story. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to remember this. We are called to be set apart. In Romans 12, verse 2, he says, "Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Today, we are called to be set apart. We are called to leave these walls of this school, of this holy sanctuary that they're going to have as a school, and kids are going to be chewing gum next week. But it doesn't matter, because God brings together people who are like-minded, who have this joy. And some of us today are going to have the joy that's unleashed, regardless of the circumstance we're in, because we're going to start doing it His way, and we're going to see the joy. Next week, I'll give credit cards and cash out. So you'll definitely want to come back and invite a friend. Maybe say fast track. I'm going to say, maybe if you come back next week, you get credit cards and cash. If you come back on Easter Sunday, maybe a life change. So hey, you be the judge. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so awesome. Lord, thank you for just first changing our lives. Because had our lives not been changed, Lord, we could not share this incredible, powerful message with others. And Lord, I thank you so much for such a warm welcome here to, Lord, a family. Lord, not just Pioneer, PCC, but a family that has bonded together to give $13,000 last year to missions. Lord, talk about the widow's mites. Lord, you are doing something powerful here. But Lord, we can also see the glass is half empty, saying, well, you know, we're not growing, we're not moving. Oh, Lord, showcase in front of us right now the incredible life change that you've done. And, Lord, may we not forget what you've done so that, Lord, we press forward on that race that you have designed for us. Lord, as you say in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, Lord, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of people who have given their lives for this gospel. Lord, let us give our lives for this gospel. So, Lord, may we run with perseverance. May we throw off all of these things that are encumbering us right now. Living the way the world does. Lord, having the desires of the world. Lord, may the songs we sing be true. Lord, may we really believe that you are all we need. And may we believe that you are even more beautiful than your creation. Lord, we look around this room and we see some beautiful people. But Lord, what if you are even more beautiful? And the answer to that is yes, you are. Show us, Lord. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts so, Lord, we might share this with others. And PCC, Lord, will just bust out. And so that people in this community will see that there is hope and there is joy and there is peace here. And it has nothing to do with how much money we have. It's how rich our God is. Thank you, Jesus, for each person here. May they leave challenged and changed. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as I pray now, and as the music plays, Lord, there might be somebody here who just says, I wish I had that in my life. I've been going through the motions, and I go to church, but I've never felt that power. Maybe today is the day where they accept the payment that you made for the biggest debt in their life. That biggest credit card they can imagine, bigger than a student loan, bigger than a mortgage. It's a debt that will send us to hell if we don't have the payment paid by you. And Lord, we might know it. We might have it in our brain, Lord, but Lord, may now, Lord, those who have known the truth, may they transfer the 16 inches from their brain to their heart and accept you as their Savior, as their rescuer from this debt that we can't pay. Oh, Lord, and if there's one person, Lord, Lord, may they say this prayer now, Lord. I accept you, Lord, as my Savior. Teach me, Lord, your ways. Lord, surround me, Lord, with these godly people here at PCC that will show me how rich it is to know you and to get to know you better. And Lord, for many others, this is also a time of decision where, Lord, we were 10% yours. It's 10%, Lord, is all yours, but the rest of it's mine. Lord, may the rest of us today, Lord, give that 90% to you. Lord, Lord, not talking about money. We're talking about hearts. We're talking about an offering now, Lord, of our lives. So, Lord, I pray now that the many others will say, God, take the rest of my life. Take the rest of my heart. Lord, may you replace these lesser things that I have my eyes on. Thank you, Jesus.